How fitting a bumper from which to return to this segment. Oh, cannabis, our home and native land. The government has decided to monopolize in Ontario the sale of marijuana if and when it ever becomes legal, which at this point, I don't think it's ever going to happen on this timeline. I think we'll be having another federal election before marijuana is actually legalized. And even if it does come out, I don't think that anyone will be happy with what it looks like. Certainly in Ontario, where Kathleen Wynne announced, much to the chagrin of pretty much anyone who wanted legalized pot some months ago, that retail of it would be under the LCBO model, unionized public sector employees in dedicated Ontario cannabis store shops or online through Shopify. And Doug Ford came out swinging this week, one of his first major policies since becoming the PC leader, saying that he wants a free market for cannabis. He said in an interview on Ottawa Morning on CBC on Tuesday, quote, "I don't believe in the government sticking their hands in our lives all the time. I believe in letting the market dictate." He says that he's been open to a fair market. He wants to let the markets dictate. He says he will not cut public service jobs. Now, the problem is if we have all of these stores that are public sector stores and then he comes in and changes that, I don't see how jobs wouldn't be lost, and to keep them would be incredibly bloated. But beyond that, he hasn't given a specific plan of what he wants. He hasn't mentioned, you know, I want a dispensary model. He just says that generally speaking, and he answered it in the context of a marijuana discussion, he supports the free market. Well, what would this look like? And is it, as Kathleen Wynne has said in response, reckless to think of the private sector stepping up to the plate to sell pot in the absence of government? I want to welcome into the show David Clement, who is the North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center and joins me now. David, good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So not just that she is opposed to it, but that it is reckless, as in how dare anyone think that the free market could do this well? And you know what? When I look at jurisdictions that have a free market retail of marijuana, I'm not seeing the reckless outcomes. I'm not seeing the dystopic result that she thinks will ensue.
No, and I mean, what's ironic here is that she's saying that the private retail sale of cannabis is reckless, while two NDP governments in both Alberta and British Columbia are actually saying the opposite and saying, no, we should have private retail for cannabis. So it's funny to see that you have NDP governments on the West Coast embracing some sort of private sale, and then you have the Liberal government here in Ontario wanting to monopolize essentially the entire process. And I mean, it's also silly. So she made the claim that it was reckless in the context of selling cannabis next to candy bars. Nobody is really suggesting that. But beyond that, we already sell age-prohibited goods like alcohol now in grocery stores and tobacco in convenience stores alongside other products. And the world seems to be holding course and doomsday is not upon us. So I think that her comments are pretty silly when you actually evaluate what she's saying.
Yes, and the idea that that is a bad thing is something I've never been on board with. I mean, I'm not a fan of the LCBO model, but there's something very absurd to not being able to pick up a bottle of Coke with whatever, you know, liquor you buy or something, or to pick up a bag of chips for the party as well as your keg of beer. So I don't see how we get to convenience being reckless here. And I'm failing to see any leap there logically, except for she's trying to suck up to the public sector unions.
I mean, it would appear that way. Certainly, the major public sector unions like OPSU have lined up in favor of this LCBO model because it ultimately means that they will control the sale of cannabis. But I think one thing that's important for listeners to realize, and more importantly for Kathleen Wynne to realize, is that when we have private retailers sell age-prohibited goods, they're actually more likely to ID and do their due diligence than at an LCBO. And so when we take that into account, if we actually care about what's reckless and what's not, we should be focusing on private sale, focusing on those outlets that have a higher degree or higher willingness of IDing and getting it right when they do sell cannabis.
That's a really good point. I've seen tobacco stores, I've seen variety stores that for, I think, 6 months is the punishment period, are not able to sell a single tobacco product because they've been caught to have served a minor. And that's hugely important because the LCBO has nothing equivalent to that. You can't say, oh, the LCBO was caught doing something, we're going to shut it down. There are huge stakes for private retailers that do run afoul of the laws, and that is why when they have been done studies in mystery shops, there has been such high compliance.
Exactly, and it really comes down to incentives. Like you said, with the if a private retailer gets caught selling age-prohibited goods to people they're not supposed to, they lose their license to sell. That's a lot of money and possibly a livelihood that could be thrown away because of that mistake. So they're hypersensitive to not making that mistake. Whereas at an LCBO, a government store, if, let's say, the person behind the cash fails to ID, maybe that individual is reprimanded. Maybe at the very most, that individual would be let go from their job. But that doesn't change anything in regards to that outlet. They don't lose, that LCBO doesn't shut down. The owner, in quotations, of the LCBO isn't punished. And so when we have private retail, we actually have incentives shifted towards best practices and good behavior in that private sphere. And so it's something that Kathleen Wynne should see as being obvious, because we create those incentives because we don't want age-prohibitive goods being sold to minors and things like that. But we don't see those outcomes when we look
and
at
And there's an inherent impracticality to it as well. When we see the number, and I forget the exact number of stores, but you're going to look at a lot of communities that just have no access in the community to one of these Ontario cannabis stores. And look, I'm not a pot smoker. I really couldn't care less about whether it's accessible or available to every person in Ontario. But I know there is a market for it. The premise of legalization is rooted in the idea that Canadians who want to partake in this should have the legal right to do so. So for the Ontario government to think that it has to monopolize this is not just wrong on a philosophical level, but on a practical level, it goes against the spirit of what the legislation is supposed to be about.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, access, so there are two major factors in terms of how the black market will be pushed aside. One of them is price, and the other one is access. And by having private retail, you increase access, which stops people from buying it where they otherwise already get it now, which is somebody who is selling on the black market. And so more private retail not only has better outcomes in terms of proper sale and not selling to minors, but it also increases access, which encourages people to stop buying it from the black market, purchasing it from the legal market, and really shifting it out of that criminal aspect, which, as Justin Trudeau has said rightly, that is a very noble goal for legalization and part of the purpose of it. And so it's just a shame that the provincial government is throwing these roadblocks into the process and really tying its hands behind its back in terms of countering the black market.
Let me ask you about the political side of this here, because Doug Ford had, in general terms, when asked about pot sales, said he supports the free market and the private sector and all of that. And also, he said something very similar on my show a couple of weeks ago when it came to alcohol and beer sales. But again, more that theoretical approach to it. Is it possible when he says, you know, he's going to do this, but he doesn't want to lay off public servants, to have both of those things? Because the whole point of this, I thought, would have been that the current system, because it's monopolizing all of these things, has this bloating that has naturally occurred with all these workers that could be working in the private sector.
Well, I think some of this, if we look at this in terms of net jobs, or total jobs, I think the focus on the private sector model is certainly going to have better results in terms of more people working, better wages across the board. In terms of the question of bloating, I think that will mostly come down to the timeline of when legalization actually happens. There is a possibility that, although the Liberal government in Ontario could create the framework for Ontario cannabis stores, they may not actually get to implement them, especially if your prediction is correct in terms of there being at least another federal election. And so you would have that opportunity for cannabis to be fully introduced outside of the sphere of government stores if that were to happen. So there's still a possibility for that. Certainly Doug will be in a bit of a pickle if legalization does roll out and he's committed to not lay off any public sector workers at all, and then deal with the transition of private retail, public retail. But there is a possibility for it to be entirely private if the legalization process from the federal level is delayed.
Yes, and I would stress just as a caveat there, not private in the way of a private monopoly like the beer store has, but private in the sense of a competitive environment. Because just saying, okay, we're going to sell off the Ontario Cannabis Store to a private investor doesn't solve what is really at the core of the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And when people like myself say private, I'm talking about competition. I'm not necessarily talking about like a beer store model where it's essentially a monopoly. When advocates on my side of the aisle are talking about having private retail sale, we're talking about entrepreneurs, and we're talking about small businesses, and we're talking about other forms of retail, not just kind of one big box store that has a legalized monopoly or oligopoly from the government. So certainly not a beer store model.
All right. Well, you'll be back, David Clement, on Monday for a special one-hour debate we're doing on the Andrew Lawton Show on supply management. You'll be arguing against, dairy farmer and video producer Bruce Sargent will be arguing for. So we look forward to that Monday at 1 o'clock. But in the meantime, David Clement from the Consumer Choice Center, thanks very much for coming on the show, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Cheers. When we return in a couple of moments, more of the Andrew Lawton Show, 980 CFPL.